I know I needed a healer. How many of you needed a true lover of your soul? Somebody that's not after gain, amen? And Jesus Christ fit that bill to a T. I think the music today was amazingly good. I'm really blessed by it. So everything that's come up to this point has really brought the presence of the Lord in here. And Jesus Christ is in here today, church. And to repeat what Paul has said, you know, it's not about numbers. It's about Jesus, amen. And where two or more gather in his name, he's here. And we all come out of bed today and did whatever channels we had to go through to get in this building. Let's get our attention stayed on Jesus, amen. And let's get what he has for us, because the Holy Spirit wants to speak a word. I was toiling with some with some different directions that he would have me to go, and he kind of changed what I thought I was going to say while I was sitting there. And what I want to speak about is refreshment is on its way, amen. Refreshment is on the way. And I know by the Spirit that it ain't just me, but I know we all, just even being in our society, begin to feel the weights and the burdens of life, amen. Not to mention the pressure cooker of trouble, tribulation, and family, and you name it, amen. We all have our own set of circumstances, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ knows right where he has not forgotten, amen. He's in that situation with you, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fourth man was in that furnace, amen, and the fourth man is in your situation. I want you, if you don't get anything out of this but this, know this refreshment is on its way. You're not alone, amen. He sees every tear. He bottles it up. He knows every prayer that you've prayed to him, and he's going to answer, amen. And a lot of it is just merely by the dispensation that we're approaching. Amen. How many of you know God's going to send a revival in this land? Amen. And we're going to talk about that today. Revival is on its way. I want you to know our best times are just ahead of us. Don't get too caught up in the here and now, because there's something coming that's even greater. Amen. And as beautiful as it's been in our services, as beautiful as it's been just myself being a Christian, oh man, I could tell you some stories. But I'm going to tell you, I'm excited because I know what's on the horizon. Jesus Christ is going to do the greatest exploit this world has ever seen. Many are going to reject it, but those who don't are going to be set free. Amen. Those that don't are going to experience that healer of the soul. Those that don't are going to find a refreshment that they've never had before. Why? Because God is he's concerned with our todays. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, I come to you as humbly as I know how today. And God, I need you. I need you mightily in this place. Father, there's people that need you, Lord. And Father, if you don't speak, Lord, it's futile. But I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're already speaking, Lord. The music has been so good. And Father, the inspiration you're giving me is I know it's you. And Father, touch the hearts, Lord God. Let somebody leave knowing that refreshment is on its way, that our greatest days are just ahead. Help us in this place, Lord. We need you, and we know we need you. We're not mistaken, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I know of a family that years ago they had received Christ, but it was kind of unorthodox how Christ hit their household. They had a father that literally would not let them go to church. He just wouldn't let them go to church. He, growing up himself with a broken heart and a broken past, that by the time this family ran into Jesus Christ through Christian television, of all things, the father just became somewhat of a pharaoh in that house. And he stopped the family and the children from ever bringing Bibles in that home, from ever going to church. In fact, one time, it's on record, that this same man went to church to see what the big deal was and put an iron bar in his hand and stared at the preacher like, what are you doing trying to take my family from me? Well, the point of this story is that same family, I've got clear stories to tell you that it was some of the greatest times they ever had with the Lord was in the midst of the drama. This same family will tell you of nightly prayer sessions. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Nightly prayer sessions where the Holy Spirit would show up and let them know that he was with them. When he woke the mother up and said, I will help you. I will help you. And this same family went through a rough time period trying to hold on to Jesus. But God showed up. He never left them alone. I happen to know personally because that was our family. And I'm here to tell you, in the deepest part of your tribulation, there's the greatest point of revelation. Oh, I'm here to tell you, if you just hold on, if you just hold on, when it seems like it's, what else can we take? That's when God's showing you just how big he is. Because saints, I'm going to tell you, there's no other way to do it unless you go through something. There's no other way. God can say in these pages, I am the God that healeth thee. But let me tell you something. When your back is up against the wall and you can't put your back up straight, amen, and he straightens your back, how many of you know you can say with assurance, he is the God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. And I want you to know something. In your time of greatest turmoil, God will help you. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of, as I began to look at some things, in the time of Matthew's gospel, there was 430 years before that Malachi was ended the Old Testament. And they call that time frame the silent years. Why? Because God himself totally quit giving revelation. But how many of you know, in a silent years, in a dark era, there was still a remnant. Hallelujah. Are you the remnant today? We are, if you don't know. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, if your faith is in the bloodshed banner of what he did on Calvary and nothing else, let me tell you something, you are that remnant. And if you're his remnant, let me tell you something, he's not going to leave you there alone. Hallelujah. And in that same time frame, Israel, you know, as they wrapped up the Old Testament, false doctrine was at a record high. Now, I believe it's worse now than it was then. Amen. But if you read, you see so many rebukes to those that are out putting out a false direction. So it is now. And what did God do? God sent, he promised at the end of, we could turn there. Hallelujah. Let's go to Malachi 4 and verse 5. Hallelujah. Right before Matthew, Malachi 4 and verse 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. He says, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I believe in double reference. Whenever you see prophecies, most of the time, there's a more basic explanation and there's a more deeper spiritual revelation. Hallelujah. Now, when it says in that day, that's talking about the coming of the Lord. How many know Elijah is still to show up? Amen. Elijah is still to crack this horizon. Amen. And the spirit of Elijah is what I want to talk to you today about. And when John the Baptist showed up on the earth, hallelujah, right when the silent years were wrapped up in Matthew's gospel, we find a man on the scene, hallelujah, full of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, from the womb even, hallelujah. And this man, the Bible says, moved in the spirit of Elijah. Well, what's so important about Elijah? Because when it's at its darkest hour, God always raises up a voice. Amen. Saints, I'm trying to get you to see we're on the brink of something great. Amen. We are in some dark days right now. I could get into some politics, but I don't like doing that over a pulpit. But if you ain't looked at our culture, amen, it's damnably changing. And so it was in these days. Amen. By the time Jesus got on the scene, the sects that they had of scribes, they had changed. Amen. Now we've got these new Sadducees and Pharisees and Herodians. And who are these guys? This is something totally new. Amen. They were liberals and conservatives. And you have political movements. Amen. And they twisted scripture. What do we got today? People coming on the scene, changing the spiritual culture. Who cares about the world culture? But they're coming against our spiritual culture. Amen. They're coming against things we call sacred. Amen. What did Jesus do when he came? He said, they have told you this, but I have told you this. Amen. We find that right before the Beatitudes. He said, they told you that if you simply kill your brother. But I tell you, if you even look at him with animosity in your heart, you've already murdered him. So he had to clean up what the world had already destroyed. How many of you know the spirit of Elijah is in this house today? Amen. The spirit of Elijah has already been dispatched on this earth. Amen. And it's through a message. Amen. Called Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's through this gospel. It's nothing new. But the Bible said when John the Baptist rose up, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who come to take away the sin of the world. And he said, let's make his paths straight. Amen. How many of you know that when Elijah comes, when Elijah speaks, hallelujah, when the spirit of Elijah speaks, he says, make them paths straight. Hallelujah. He speaks to and puts his finger in the point of the face of a sinful church. Amen. Of backslidden preachers, of a backslidden world, and says, repent, for Jesus Christ is at hand, and make his path straight. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus is saying today. Church, there's a greater day coming. Amen. There's a greater day coming. I know it's tough. I know we look out and we see not just the outside culture change, but even the inside culture. But I'm here to tell you, there's a great revelation of who he is right in the midst of it. Back there where we were at Malachi 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 5 and 6, he says, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. I want to stop there, too. Let me tell you why he has to bring a prophetic word. How many of you ever seen when kings enter a room, they just don't enter? How many of you know they roll out some red carpet? Amen. How many of you know they got some of those cultures, I think in some countries in Africa, they throw rose petals down. But how many of you know there's a horn? Amen. There's a horn that says, dun, 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 here he is. Hallelujah. And that's what this message of the cross is. It's the horn. Hallelujah. It's the prophetic utterance. And we've heard so long that to be a prophet means you foretell the future. That's not what it's about. Amen. A prophet may be able to see a glimpse of the future. I'm not taking anything away from it. But this spirit of Elijah that God's talking about has nothing to do with saying, thou shalt go to Zimbabwe and save 10 people. He's saying, make them pass straight. Hallelujah. It's bringing people back to a repentant knowledge that they're lost. Amen. That they're going to hell. And if they're going to go the direction they're going to go, they will not have the Holy Spirit, but it's another spirit. Hallelujah. And that's the horn. Hallelujah. That's the shofar that we're blowing. That's the sound that needs to be made. That's the utterance. Hallelujah. That's the spirit of Elijah. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 6, and he shall turn, hallelujah, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Hallelujah. I said, Holy Spirit, what is that? And he showed me, amen, there's a fathering spirit, amen, that it had left for so long. I remember prior to this fellowship, I tried my best with these different cliques of religious cliques, amen, where you've got this the big guy who's the big puppeteer, I guess, and you try to be groomed and say, well, somebody show me, you know, what is this that I'm supposed to do? How many know God's bringing not just mothers back to the church, but he's bringing fathers back to the church? Amen. We need that in the church. And until I got here, amen, until I seen that there's no difference, amen, there's no bond nor free, there's no Jew nor Gentile, there's no big I's and little U's in this walk, amen, we're all dealing with the human experience. It clicked for me. Something clicked. Something clicked, and I now can see why older saints, amen, and more seasoned saints would want to spend time with younger saints. Church is coming back to the church, amen, and everybody in here should find somebody that doesn't have the seasoning you have. Spend time with them, amen. That's part of this same spirit. We need fathers in the church. We need somebody to take us under the wing and say, son, this is how it's done, amen, and if you're off, you're off, and if you're right, you're right, amen. That's the fathering spirit that's coming back to the church. We done got too pansies around here. Amen. The body of Christ is too afraid to offend. We took that outside culture and made it our culture. Got to be politically correct. How many of you know this Bible is not politically correct? This Bible goes straight down the middle. Amen. It hurts sometimes, and sometimes it feels good. But I tell you what, when you know you got cut by Jesus, after all the smoke clears, you say, hallelujah. Amen. When you got cut by Jesus, I didn't say by a fake preacher. Amen. I didn't say by somebody trying to hurt you. But when you get cut by Jesus, amen, how many of you know something's going to come out better than it was the first time? How many of you know somebody's going to say, I got surgery that was done? How many of you know somebody's going to say, Christ the healer just healed my soul? How many of you know somebody's going to come up with a testimony, hallelujah, that God touched me, hallelujah. And we need that in this church, hallelujah. We need that in the body of Christ. And I'm compelling some Elijahs in this audience. There's some John the Baptist out here that's about to get their heads cut off, hallelujah, for the sake of this gospel. It's okay, hallelujah, because if you do die, you're going to go down in history, amen. There's a crown waiting on you. But I'm here to tell you, most of us won't die, hallelujah. Some of us are going to set captives free, hallelujah. Some of us are going to put that horn back on our lips and say, hallelujah, he's the only way. I don't care what you're preaching. If it don't point to Jesus Christ, you're going to be lost. Hallelujah. Put the horn in your mouth, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put the horn in your mouth. Hallelujah. And he said he's going to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth. How many know this has to be done? This has to be done. This is nothing. That's up for debate. Hallelujah. God's going to fulfill this thing. And it was started with John the Baptist. Amen. How many know that had to be a great day? We complain what we're seeing. Put yourself look at the setting when you go into the beginning of the New Testament. Put yourself in the setting how if you was the remnant back then, if you was the one holding to the sacrificial system, because that's all the remnant was, those that said, I'm not turning, I'm not following this new brand, I'm sticking to this. If it means I'm going to die, I'm sticking to it. Amen. And we're that remnant today. Hallelujah. But put yourself in their shoes. You see all these new sects of scribes popping up. You see them straight twisting the gospel. Jesus was offended. Why do you think he turned over the tables of the money changers? Because when he came in, it was not a pretty sight. How many of you know we can look out at this thing today, 2009, and feel very similar? But there's good news in that whole story. Why? Because there was a John the Baptist that came on the scene. Amen. There was a man that was preceding the man. Hallelujah. There was a man that precedes the man. Hallelujah. And God's raising up some right now. Hallelujah. We are that John the Baptist in this area. Church, don't get swayed by the numbers. Don't ever get swayed. Don't ever get a sense of discouragement. This is how it goes before big things. This is what has to happen before God just explodes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to go over to Matthew. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Chapter, I believe it's going to be 2. Thank you, Lord. You know what? Pardon me, church. We're going to go to Acts. That's where I want to be anyway. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. We're talking about a promise of a greater ending. Hallelujah. This gets greater later, as we say. I seen a lady through this week that looked at me, and she had the most peculiar look in her eyes. And I knew there were some hurts behind it. And I said, "What's going on?" She says, "I have trouble remembering people and things and events." I said, "Well, what happened?" She says, 7 years ago, somebody did something heinously wrong to her. And, of course, the natural response is, put your faith in Christ, you know, he'll heal you. And she said, "Oh, I've done that." And I said, "You have? You know, something's not jiving here." And she began to keep talking to me, and she said, "Is God a God of justice? Is he really a just God?" And I was like, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I see where the problem is now." She's angry. And, you know, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes evil things happen to people that are holding on to Christ. Amen. And all that stuff comes, like I told the young lady, I said, "Do you realize that all this is coming to destroy your faith? That's all. There's no other motive that Satan has. And why do we blame God when there's a whole other force out here? It ain't just God. You know, there's an arch rival called Satan, amen? And he has some liberties. In the end, he don't win, but he has some liberties. But you know what? This sister, you know, she ended up repenting and asking them to forgive her and letting the Holy Spirit move in her life. But I'm going to tell you this, her end is going to be greater than her beginning. Why? Because she now has something to tell somebody about. She now has a healer that she can sing about. Amen. She now knows a greater revelation of who Christ is. She had never known it. And I don't know, I sensed that it was probably some sexual abuse. It didn't have to be. But something was done very evil. And, you know, she said, "Why did he cause that to happen?" I said, "God didn't cause that." I don't know why I'm going here, but somebody needs to hear this. I said, "God didn't cause it. He allowed it." But I said, "I want you to understand something, sis. The same sin nature that plagues that man is the same sin nature that plagues you. Amen." And I said, "It's easy for me to say, let it go. But I'm here to tell you, you're the only one that's going to be held captive by it if you don't. He's going on with life." And how many of you know Satan is putting out some of the worst fight he could put out in his last days? Because when revival is high, opposition has to be high. It has to. I don't know if any of y'all deal in math. I'm a logical kind of person, but you could put it in an equation. Amen. R, which equals revival, is equal to O, which is opposition. R equals O. If your revival is high, your opposition's high. Amen. They're in proportion. Amen. Because something has to be squeezed. Amen. This anointing's got to be squeezed out of us. Hallelujah. Because how many of you know some of us won't go to the prayer closet unless something's going on? Some of us won't, you know, get the "Lord, I thank you" unless there's a reason to fall on your knees. And nowadays with work, they want to pay you half as much for twice the work. That's all opposition too. But you know, through it all, God will find a way to allow his people to fellowship and commune. And God's going to find a way to give you exactly what you got coming. Hallelujah. We're going to go to chapter 2, verse 14. And everybody knows this passage. And this is the real birthing of the church. Hallelujah. And chapter 2, verse 14 of Acts, they just got through having a Holy Ghost outrage. And some of those same religious people, some of those same people that were part of the culture don't understand. How many of you know they're not going to understand us neither? They're going to be like, man, them people are so out of sync. But look what Peter said. Now, this is the spirit of Elijah right here. And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. That sounds like a trumpet if you ask me. And he said unto them, Judea and all of you who dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. I want to stop right there. You know why old men dream dreams? Because they just don't have the energy. Amen. And the young men see. And young men have visions. You know the way I look at this? It's like when you see a new, we just built a new store at Verizon. And we've had the sign, coming soon. And it's already complete. Even got people walking out in front of it. But there's nothing there. How many know that's vision? God restores vision to the church. Amen. God's going to bring vision in this last day. People that instead of just sitting here as us four and no more, and you know what? We don't care. No, he's going to raise up people to say, let's go back out to the street like we did last year. Amen. Somebody that can see past these four walls. Amen. And we need people to dream dreams. Amen. It all starts with a dream. It starts with a dream. Then it becomes a vision, and then it comes to pass. Amen. And so our older saints, amen, we need you. Hallelujah. We need you in this last day because there's something that God has given y'all. You've got more experience. You've got more of that struggle in you than I got. I've only got 32 years of struggle. You guys have got 50, 60, 70, you know, and that's awesome. Amen. So let the dreams take place. Hallelujah. And then we got us young men with vision. Hallelujah. God's going to help us to facilitate this revival. Hallelujah. He needs somebody to put some footwork together. Amen. And there's always works that precede faith. We talked about that. Amen. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. So if I don't see a vision, if I don't see a sign out front somewhere, there's been no dream. Hallelujah. Because if there's a dream, there's going to be a sign state. Boom, coming soon. Amen. How many know we need vision again? Amen. We need somebody to put footwork behind what God said he's going to do. And what ends up happening? People's lives get touched. Hallelujah. The daughters, hallelujah, will prophesy. Hallelujah. We know women run their mouth, but I didn't say that. But God said he's going to cause women to prophesy. Hallelujah. The daughters will prophesy. I'm joking. Please believe me. Amen. Because that's not just limited to women. Amen. We're all going to be parts of this prophecy. Hallelujah. How many? Somebody say Elijah. Spirit of Elijah. We need you now. Amen. We need you now. Hallelujah. Because God's bringing it. Hallelujah. And he said he's going to do it in the last days. And when it happened there, it didn't get fulfilled. It just started. It just started. And for the sake of time, I'm not going there. But if you go back to Joel's prophecy, he talked about the former and the latter rain. How many of you know on the Jewish calendar there was two rains? Hallelujah. How many know there's still another outpouring that's left? That's why you hear people say there's another outpouring. There's still a latter rain. Hallelujah. There's still a latter rain that's coming. And it's no coincidence that there's been an articulation of this gospel in the most clarity that I've ever seen since I've been saved right now. And this is part of it. Believe that. And it's one thing to have the gospel, but we also got to have people willing to go. Amen. We need visionaries. And all of it is the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't beat people into being a visionary. You can't beat them into dreaming. The Holy Spirit said he'll do it. He said, I'll cause your daughters to prophesy. I'll make the old men dream dreams. And I'll have the young men see visions. Amen. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. So I just want to stand on your feet. This wasn't a long message, but stand on your feet, church. We're just going to pray, and we're going to thank God for revival in this church. Amen. And I want you, when we begin to pray, and however you normally do, I want you to act as if it's, you know, it's true. Amen. Because do you believe? Amen. Do you believe? Amen. And he's doing it. And here's the thing to be thankful. We, none of us deserve it. None of us are gifted enough. None of us are clever enough. None of us are, needless to say, holy enough. But yet he said he's going to do it. And why is he choosing us? Amen. Why is he choosing us out here in Springfield? I don't know, but you know what? I'll take all of it that he's going to give me. Amen. Amen. And Father, we just thank you right now. Just begin to pray, church. We just thank you right now, Lord, for revival so needed. Father, you, as you begin to reveal to us, Lord, the drama's been high in our lives, Lord. The pressure cooker's been turned up, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, the heat's been on. But, Lord, we feel encouraged, not discouraged. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We feel encouraged and not discouraged because we know that there's something greater coming, Lord. Something that we could not produce, but your word promises it, Lord. And we thank you for the outpouring. Lift your hands and thank you for the outpouring, church. Lord, we thank you for this outpouring, how the latter rain, Lord. Lord, the spirit of Elijah, Lord, that you promised for this world. You said all flesh is going to benefit from it. Lord, that's going to make you able to judge even, Lord, because you can properly judge and execute judgment when the word has gone forth. Lord, use us. Lord, we're willing. Every one of us in this church, Lord, are willing, Lord. And Father, if there's any at this time, church, you don't need to come down. If any of us need to repent, if there's anything that through the week we didn't put under the blood, let's take this time and do it. And Lord, right now, we just ask you, Lord, to forgive us, Lord, as a body and individually. Lord, for sins omitted and committed, Lord. Father, we know without your touch in every area, we will fail. And some of us have, Lord. But, Lord, we don't stay down. We get up, Lord, in faith and in boldness, Lord. And we say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for recharging this church, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for rekindling vision in this church. I thank you for awakening dreams in this church. I thank you for the spirit of prophecy that's in this church. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this world is going to be skillfully affected by this church being where it's supposed to be. And, Father, we thank you for our pastor and the people, Lord, that have went on the outreach and the young people. Oh, thank you for the young people, Lord. Lord, they're part of this vision, too. And, Father, we thank you that they're going to come back supercharged with the Holy Ghost. Father, that they can lead us even, Lord God. Hallelujah. And, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for refreshment, Lord, for pastor and his wife. Hallelujah. And, Father, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, and we say amen, amen. And if anybody has special requests for prayer, simply show by the raising of your hand. Amen. One more time, if anybody needs special prayer, hallelujah. And that's all I got in church. I just want to encourage you, when you go through this week, if turmoil and grief begins to get up, I want you to start laughing. Amen. Get a revelation. That way it's not fake, because then you look like you're just a hysteric. But if you really believe it, just laugh at that devil. Because you know what? If this is happening, oh, the greater is the outpouring. It's going to be greater. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.